And there's just not enough we could say to praise him. And I want to thank you for being here to spend this time with me. And as we are approaching the Easter weekend, we have so much that we could look through and discuss about all of the things that lead to the Easter weekend. But this morning, I am asking that you turn with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 26, I'll begin reading in verse number 14. And if you will, please stand with me in honor of God's word this morning. Matthew 26, beginning in verse number 14. And then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Father, I thank you so much for this day. Lord, for your love and your mercy upon us, despite the nature of who we are, our rebellious moments against you, you still love us, you still cling to us, and call to us, bringing us into forgiveness, bringing us into salvation, reminding us the hope of our salvation and the joys that we have in this day. And Lord, we thank you that you strengthen us through your Spirit and through your words. And I pray, Father, be with us today. Strengthen us to see ourselves for who we are and to stand as your people in this world that has forgotten how to love you. Lord, I ask it to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. One of the 12 called Judas Iscariot. I mean, I could ask you this morning, who was Judas? And we would all have an answer for that, wouldn't we? But really, the question is, who was Judas? I mean, in real life, who was Judas? He was like any one of us, wasn't he? He was just like any one of us. He was a face in the crowd. He had friends. He had trusted friends. He had relationships with people that went far beyond just saying hey once a week. He was like any one of us, a face in the crowd, regular kind of a person, living our life, enjoying our life. This is who Judas was. This is who all of the apostles were. That's who all of us as Christians are today. Out in the world, we're just a face. When we come together, though, we recognize the face and we celebrate the heart that is behind the face. But I want to ask you a question. Is your heart really given to Christ? Because it makes a difference to say you know Christ as compared to I live for Christ. Okay? Judas. Who was Judas? Just a face in the crowd like any one of us in everyday life. But what made him who he was? What made Judas tick, do you think? Was it his family life when he was growing up? Was it the kind of person he began to mold himself into once he decided who he wanted to be in life? By the way, God will throw you curveballs when you make those kinds of decisions, right? Judas is an example. Whatever Judas wanted to be, guess what he ended up being? Different than what he had planned. But what made him who he was? What made him tick? You know, what did he have fun doing? What were his interests? He certainly didn't mind being one of the 12. He followed Jesus for the entirety of his mission on earth. He also became an integral part in the mission of Christ and of the cross. And there's so much that we could say about that. But what I want you to hear is this. Judas was just like any one of us. Sometimes we're facing the crowd, but sometimes we stand out among those that we are with. And we need to be careful what makes us tick, what our desires are, what we are pursuing in life, because that will really show the world, it will really show God who we are. Now, God already knows. The rest of us might be fooled. But one day we see and we know. Judas, if we began to look at who he was and we try to determine what made him tick, and we ask those questions, well, was it his family growing up? Was it his friends in life? Was it the things that he had learned that had been taught by the world, those around him? Was it the things he had learned by those around him when he was taught by Jesus? Because there are a few lessons that I know Judas had as a member of the 12 walking with Christ. There were a lot of things that Judas heard. One of the lessons that Judas heard was the parable of the unjust steward. Can you imagine hearing Jesus teach in person and seeing the truth coming out of him and the passion that must have been in his parables to the people, and Judas standing there with everyone else like us, a face in the crowd, except he was one of the 12. He wasn't just any old face. One of the 12, and he was listening to Jesus teach about the unjust steward. Do you remember the parable of the unjust steward? An accusation was brought against him by his master, or to his master, and he had heard that he was going to be fired. We put it in today's terms. He's going to be fired. So he began to think about what he was going to do to make sure he had a place to land when the seat he was at was pulled out from under him. Right? And he went to people who owed his master money, oil and wheat. And he said to them, how much do you owe? And they gave him a number. He said, well, write down less than that. Making friends with those people in the world. How much do you owe? 100. Well, write down 80. How much do you owe? 100. Write down 50. And in the world, people would admire those kinds of things. If you know that you are trying to cover all of your bases so that when the game is over, you actually still have a seat at a table somewhere, whether it's on the team you started with or the opposing team. It doesn't matter, as long as you have a seat. And so his master called him in and said, you have dealt shrewdly. You've done well for yourself. And he did it because he said to himself, I don't know how to dig. I don't know how to work a regular job. I'm going to have to do something to make sure I am taken care of when I get to that place that I'm going, wherever it might be. But the parable also included this. It wasn't just a story about how to make sure you land on your feet in life. You want to make sure you land on your feet in life the right way. And Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, for it will be faithful to one and disrespect the other. But even more than that, he who is faithful in the little things will be faithful in the bigger things. Now Judas was there and he heard this. So what was still making Judas tick? Because if you can't be faithful in the little things, how can you be faithful in the bigger things? Judas was there when Jesus taught about the wedding feast. How many of you remember the parable of the wedding feast? There was a king. Son was getting married, and all of those that had been invited, he sent out the invitation, said, it's time. The table is ready. We're wanting to have the feast. Y'all come. And the people wouldn't come. And he sent out his servants again saying, look, everything is ready. Some went to their businesses, some went back to the homes, and some mistreated and even killed. The servants went out with the message that the wedding feast was ready. And the king grew angry and was going to bring destruction upon those that were called and given that invitation. And then he sent out other servants to find anyone on the highways and the byways, out in the bushes and the streets. Tell them to come. The wedding feast is taking place. Y'all come. Now, I would have heard that when he talked Southern like that. Y'all come. I'd have been on my way. I'd have said, that's a crowd for me. I hear it and it's Christ, and I say, that's a crowd for me when I know who He is. I want to be in that crowd that's with Christ. And the people came. They had the invitation. Now they knew it's a wedding feast and it's a celebration. So dress properly, you know. It doesn't matter if you don't have the best suit or the prettiest dress, but dress properly. And the king is looking and walking around the people who are celebrating the feast, and he sees one there and he says, how did you get in here dressed like that? And he had him escorted out, had him kicked out, because he thought he could just show up any old way he wanted. You know, the world teaches that today about coming to relationship with Christ. You can come just any old way you want. And you can still be that same person that you were. You don't have to try to put on your best. You don't have to be a better person. You don't have to do anything. Just come on in. God is love, and God will love you no matter what. He will. But when it's time for the wedding feast, if you aren't in the feast dressed properly, He will escort you out. Do you know what it takes to be dressed properly to enter into the hall of the wedding feast that God is going to give? It takes being clothed in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And He was teaching this parable. And Judas was hearing this parable. He had heard this parable taught about the unjust steward, that if you are not faithful in the little things, you can't be faithful in the bigger things. Who's going to trust you? He heard Jesus teach about the wedding feast, and he said, how can you come in here dressed like that? And he had him escorted out. And people in churches, they hear these same lessons every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday. Whenever they have Bible studies with their friends, they discuss these kinds of things. But what is in the background making them tick? What is really motivating them? And so that's what I'm asking us today. What is motivating us to be what God wants us to be? Or we just look like we are? Are we just another face in the crowd standing beside Judas? Combing our hair the same way, brushing our beard the same way, wearing the same kind of cloak, and we look like we are part of the family, and we've heard all of these things, but even in the little things, we can't be trusted. And when we go to the wedding feast, we think we can just be dressed any old way we want, with our morality, whoever we want to be. God made me this way. He's just got to have to accept me this way. God made us all, and we all got faults, and He tells all of us to work on them. We all have to work on these things. There's not one of us that has something to work on and somebody else is getting off scot-free. It doesn't work that way. We're all burdened by the weight of sin. And we are all tarnished by it. And we all need to be clean and polished up. And that is an effort we must participate in. and try to dress properly as Christ is teaching us. There was another parable that Jesus taught. He said, lay up your treasure in heaven. Lay up your treasures in heaven. He said it like this, don't make your treasure on the earth but in heaven, where thieves do not break in and steal it, where it will not rust away and tarnish. There's no more moths that are going to destroy whatever it is that you have your heart wrapped around. Lay up your treasure in heaven. And there's a reason for that. How many of you remember the reason for laying up your treasure in heaven? Because wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to take you. You remember this? Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And our feet will follow the guidance of our heart, won't it? How many of us have gotten into more trouble than we care to remember because we let our heart lead our feet? And our feet so willingly went where our hearts had to go. The head stayed out of it. This is between you two. I'm getting out of this one. You ever heard that before? I've had moments like that. My mind's saying, what are you two doing? Talking to my heart and my feet. And they said, well, this is a discussion between us and it's too much to get into to invite you into it now, so just stay out. And the mind says, okay. I don't need that kind of trouble. I'm just going to sit back and watch. Y'all do what you want to do. And then we end up in some kind of mess we wish we hadn't gotten into. Bought something we wish we hadn't bought. Said something we wish we hadn't said. Went to some place we wish we had not have gone. Become something we wish that we had not become. But our feet follow our heart because the treasure in our heart is where we want it to be. Lay up your treasures in heaven, Jesus said, where thieves can't break in and steal, and it's not going to rust away. It's not going to be destroyed. I mean, when I ask you what made Judas tick, what was his motivation in life, I still wonder. Because I look at all of the influence he had in life. You know what? Forget how his family life might have been. Forget the lessons that he might have learned in growing and trying to become a businessman or whatever he wanted to be in life. He had been walking with Christ for years, 3 years, and had heard these parables and these teachings on loving God and loving our neighbor and living the way God has called us to live. Not being an unjust steward in life. Being prepared for the wedding feast when it's time for a wedding feast. Laying up your treasures in heaven. Judas was a face in the crowd for every one of these sermons that Jesus gave. Just like we are facing the crowd on Sunday mornings. But what motivates you? What makes you tick? Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot. He went to the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time he sought opportunity to betray him, to betray Jesus. He proved he was an unjust steward. He proved he wasn't fit to be invited to the wedding feast. And he showed us where his treasures were laid up. Because he just traded in the pearl of heaven for two handfuls of coins. He traded in the pearl of heaven for two handfuls of coins. Why? Why would he do that? Why would anyone who sits in a church and hears the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ take 30 pieces of silver or whatever it might be that is in your heart to have to walk away from Jesus? To walk away from forgiveness of sins. To say, I will make my own life in this world and be who I want to be. God never said you didn't have that opportunity or the ability to do that, those things. You don't have to argue with Him about it, but don't pretend to be His. Don't be secretive about who you are and who you're going to be in life. Don't be someone that is spoken of in this manner. Even my own familiar friend and whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. God speaking through the psalmist. Long before Judas ever took his bread and then kicked at Christ because he preferred silver rather than the bread of life. Because he preferred silver rather than water, the water of life. Because he wanted it his way, which was quite contrary to the way Christ was teaching it was going to be. What made Judas tick? Judas serving himself. But why couldn't he get past serving himself? Instead of just being a face in the crowd, he became one of the 12. He's a regular face in the crowd. But he was holding up a mask so nobody could really see who he was. I'm asking you today, what we see, is it real? Do you belong to Jesus? Have you given Him your heart? Have you asked for forgiveness? Have you pleaded for strengthening in your life every day? Or is there something else that's really motivating you? I'm asking because I want you to understand, Judas, in the presence of Jesus, heard these three great parables and still took 30 pieces of silver. I'm asking because I don't want you to find something else that seems more worthwhile than Christ, because nothing is more worthwhile than Christ and your relationship with Him. Have you found forgiveness of sins? Have you found peace through Jesus Christ? Are you still trying to decide what it is you want? I want to give you time today to come and to find peace, to find forgiveness, and to celebrate that you have a place at the table when the wedding feast begins. What a glorious day it's going to be. What a wonderful day it will be for those in attendance. Will you come and find your place secured in Christ today? while the altar is open. Father, I thank you again for this day. I thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate not the cross, but the empty cross. That your love was so great for all of us, that you endured the pain of that cross, but that you also loved us so much that the strength of your love, the power of who you are, rolled the stone away from the tomb. And you showed us that you were alive with power over death. And even for us, through the forgiveness of sins, that we could have that same life in you. And Father, I pray today, if there is one who does not have that peace and that life in you, Lord, I pray, help them to hear. Help them to understand and to receive the truth of your love and what it means for eternity. Lord, I pray, help them to find new life in you today through your love and through your forgiveness of sins. And Lord, I ask it to your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you come? Thank you.